Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
You know, we've been laying this groundwork for this case for community. Because I think that when it comes to the church, obviously the church across the world today, there's no, you know, I think the church is growing. I think it's exploding. If you want to look at certain factions and fragments of the church, you could look at it and conclude, it's dying, people are closing its doors. But actually, I think the church is just simply changing and evolving. And it's just got a, you know, maybe a new name across its denominational, like, you know, doors. But at the end of the day, the church is not dying. Let me assure you of that. It is exploding in growth. And our best days, we are truly living in them. The church is thriving. But what I think is can be so easy is for us to come into a church like this, into a meeting like this, and we have these kind of connotations. We can come in with a certain consumer mentality towards it. Because we come into a church, and what we could automatically come in is with this kind of mentality that I'm here to shop for a church. And you might have heard people like that. And obviously, if you're one of them, there's actually nothing wrong with this in its pure sense, but it's just about the motivation behind what you're looking for. But we have, like, in so many ways, a church, and we call them a 10 a.m. service, right? And so you can start to come into church like it's something that you are coming into, and you would equate in the same category as you would a restaurant in the service industry. You're taking in a service, and so you're coming in, I want to get my happy meal, right? Because that's what church is. It's a happy meal, right? And I want to, you know, dine and dash, you know, I get, you know, love them and leave them kind of thing, right? And so we come in, we get our fix, we get encouraged, we get a pat on the back, you're awesome. Hopefully that's the tenor of what church has been for you, and it's not the opposite, because I don't know why anyone would come to a church otherwise, just to feel bad about themselves. That's odd, because no one's forcing you to be here. So that's the weirdest thought, if you really think about it. You know, you come in, you get your happy meal, and you go. And so we call these people who can be very consumeristic in that sense, we call them church shoppers. And I came here just to simply propose an idea that we ought to stop the hop, okay? And we ought to learn that, because the mentality of a church shopper can often be, what's in it for me? Does this church, does it meet my, does it meet my standards for as far as the music goes? Is this my musical taste? You know, for some of you are thinking today, because it might be your first time in a church like this, you're thinking, what was that? That was more like a Coldplay concert than it was a church service. Where's the organist and the pianist? Okay? We fired them a long time ago. Okay? It's like the Happy Keys over there, right? With the spirit fingers. Okay? That's what we call Colin over there. Okay? But, you might look for the thing. You might look at it like, oh, how are the messages, you know, am I going to get fed there, right? It's funny, because I see people leave church communities all the time, and they go, oh, I wasn't getting fed. Like, somehow it was the pastor's job to feed you for an hour and a half, and then you don't feed yourself Monday through Saturday, right? And you're thinking, I'm not getting fed. And it's like, well, it might be because you're malnourished, just a thought, right? Because it was never the pastor's job to feed you. As a matter of fact, his job was just simply to equip you, not to tickle your ears and make you feel good. Crazy thought, okay? Scandalous in nature, but people who, I've heard that one like 1,000 times, I'm just not getting fed there. And I go, what are you like? So you know who says that in a family dynamic? The people who said I'm not getting fed are the kids who don't know how to feed themselves yet. But I want to draw attention to one simple statement in that. It's the children. The children. And so if you want to not be treated like a child, maybe don't act like one, right? Because the reality is that we're called to be grown-ups, and we're called to understand the essence of what church is. And it doesn't mean that we don't start as children in the faith. We do, and there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, everyone's got to start somewhere. I started there. But when we've been in church for a long period of time, like 20 years, and you're still acting like a child and going, I'm going to go bounce around and do this, that, and the other thing, I honestly believe we've missed the spirit of what church is. See, this right here is a meeting. And I know that for some of you, it's very religious in nature. It evokes a certain kind of feeling and a mantra that would follow along with it. But the reality is, it's really unspiritual. It's just a meeting. I mean, it's just a gathering of people. And Jesus is here, because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them, right? We are carriers of God's presence, so we come together. And all this is designed to be is simply a place where you can be equipped to go and be effective in sharing your faith and loving on the world around you and get healed up and bandaged up. It's like the place you come and then you go to war all week. And by war, I mean like this means love. This doesn't mean war. This means love. That's our war, right? We're going to love the world recklessly and fiercely. Come on, somebody. Right? But I think that we can come into church with all kinds of different reasons and all kinds of different mindsets. And, you know, our current culture is not, our church is filled with people who aren't necessarily overly devoted or loyal to the community they're a part of. They can often find themselves disconnected to its mission. Because whatever it is that brought them in wasn't necessarily the reason. And I just want to propose something here today, is that we have a great community, but let's never forget that it was the cause that created our community. Let me explain this. When we gather as a church, so what I was saying is this is just a meeting. And the Bible actually gives reference to what this is. And if you read in the Bible, I mean, you got some gnarly stories in the early church, like gnarly guys. Like, I'm talking communion happened and they didn't use grape juice, right? They were like, they used real wine and people were getting drunk at communion. And so Paul, when he talks about communion in the scriptures, is literally addressing a whole faction of the church that was using it and just taking, like, they took the little thing, remember Jesus, and they're like, you know, like, whoop, and just have a little bit more, and hey, you want another go? Let's keep remembering Jesus. And they kept remembering Jesus to the point where they were no longer influenced by the Spirit, they were now influenced by the spirits, you know what I'm saying? And so Paul has to go, hey, guys, easy on the wine. You guys are taking communion to a little further. Like, can we just get to the point? Like, this is not the little, when we talk about Christianity, like, this is not meant for the clean-cut, perfect little morally obligated people of the world. This is for everybody. And you've got all kinds of different people in the meeting, okay? And so Paul is addressing this stuff. Obviously, he's not endorsing or condoning this thing, but he's confronting it in its truest sense. But you kind of get the nature of what the kind of people were coming into church. And some people was like, that would never happen in church today. I kind of go like, man, if we're really being effective, I think we ought to be seeing stuff like that happen in church. Not that, you know, I'm wanting that to happen here, okay? But I'm kind of wanting it to happen, you know, I was kidding. That was a joke. You see, the meeting was simply a bunch of believers who gathered around the name of Jesus, who had collided with the cause of Christ, who understood his mission and his mandate when he was alive, and were so revolutionized by their encounter of the living God found in the body of Jesus. When they encountered this man, they were changed and transformed, like to the point where they go crazy. Like Paul or Colin said, they would sell their homes because of what they saw. Because they saw a dude who was at the mall one day, killed, and then back at the mall 3 days later, and they're going, oh my God. And now they're trending. It's like, you know, why are there so many scriptures and copies of the New Testament? They're, more than any other historical document, is because it trended. Like, they didn't have social media to trend on, so they killed a goat or something and took pigskin and wrote it on that. And they spread it like a, you know, well, like it was like a disease or something, right? And the truth is, it went crazy. See, I like this. I like this tenor right now because for some of you, we're so religious. This is a crazy thought that it was actually way more normal than you've given it credit. A dude was dead, he's alive, and he had a message that he came to deliver to the humanity, that he was God in the flesh, and he came to die for their sin, and that because if he was raised from the dead, that he would also raise all of us from the dead. So then all of a sudden, it created a crazy to come into play with people who no longer feared the outcomes of life because they knew whatever the outcome is, I'm good. I just saw the dude raised from the dead. He's got credibility and legitimate now claims that I can literally go to the bank on this one. I can take that to the bank. So they stopped fearing death. They walked themselves into leper colonies that were literally leprosy. They were isolated and abandoned as people groups. And they would be, you know, isolated from any, you know, like kind of circulating within community because if that leprosy were to spread, their families, their loved ones would all gain it, and they would die. But Christians, when everyone else was running away from, they said, and they hugged their family members goodbye, and they literally had this kind of audacious faith because of what Christ did and what they saw in Christ. They said, I love you. I'll see you on the other side. And they'd go into the leper colony and start hugging them back to life, and treating them until finally, as you know, huge breakthroughs happened. It overturned emperors' minds, just went boom. Empires and kingdoms were overturned as a result of this. They were insane. No one could stop them. You'd think exterminate them. You do that, they spread all the more. It's like trying to put out a grease fire on the stove. You try to stomp it, it just whoo. Do you get what I'm saying? Crazy. But I think we've drifted so far from the originality of what the church is that we've tried to make it about whether the music suits me or not, or whether I feel like I'm getting fed, or what do you feel like, you know, they sang worship at the end of a sermon, you know. We've become so religious in our rhetoric that we've lost sight of what it really is. And I don't say that as a shaming thing. I'm just simply stating the facts. I'm not trying to be factual to condemn or to make us feel, oh, man, well, we suck. No, obviously not. I'm just trying to rid of a certain mindset that has infiltrated church. Like every 5 seconds, for instance, unless you say Jesus a certain amount of times, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Okay, so hopefully no one's going to Google me and say he didn't mention Jesus today. Right? And while the whole core tenet of Christianity is built off of Jesus, we have to understand the true essence is that it's an equipping center. It's an equipping center. You come here to be equipped by people who work in the ministry to help equip you to go and do the works of ministry. See, many people have asked me, many people have said these type of things. Well, why would I get involved in a community? I mean, are you not paid to do ministry? And here's the shocker. No. I know you're looking at a pastor who's paid full time in the context of a church saying, okay, he's a paid minister to minister to the people, right? That's true. So you're doing the works of ministry. No. See, why would I ever serve my community in church? The mentality is so backwards to in the early church is the only reason they even hired guys like me in the beginning was because they had such a group size that started happening. They didn't know who was going to teach what because it kind of got so big. So they said, here are some guys that are really solid, they're credible, and they're guys who have a plethora of teaching that we could kind of learn from. So let's create laymen, okay? Let's pay these guys to help create a service. And so what they did is they came up and they started giving leadership to the body, leadership to the meeting, leadership to the people group, right? And all of a sudden, everything kind of fell in there. And then they would invite guests, and they bring people of the community up to share and testify about what was going on. In other words, sharing like news of what was happening. This is the core of what Christianity was when it started. And it was crazy. The whole tenet of it was to come and just love the world with the love of God. Just love people. Now, obviously, as I was saying, we've gathered around, and we've gathered into this thing, and what I was simply alluding to, if I can get my memory to come back to me here. Why does this happen to me sometimes? Good Lord. What was I saying, Colin? Yeah, cause. Thank you. Thank you for that. The cause. It was the cause of Christ that created all of that community. It was the cause of seeing a man transformed and then raised from the dead and them going, oh my gosh, this is for me, and he's anointed us then and given us his spirit to then go carry out that mission. This is the cause of Christ. John 18, Jesus is on trial, and he says to Pilate, who's questioning him, so what's the deal with you, man? If I could paraphrase it, you look like a lunatic. You're either a liar or you really are Lord. What's the deal? Are you a king then? He says, I am a king. And he goes, for this cause, I don't know if you guys can throw that up, but for this cause I was born. For this cause I have come to this hour. And what was that? To lay his life down. So the cause of Christ, Jesus was literally born to die for humanity, to lay his life down for humanity, knowing that he would raise again. And John 12, so let's go down a couple chapters, 4 chapters prior, Jesus says to another, you know, guy questioning him, he goes, I have come to this hour. For this purpose, I have come here. And that was speaking again of being crucified. He's talking about the reason, the purpose behind it all. Behind all of his what? All the healing, all the loving on people. He was there to bring God's kingdom to earth. And it was the cause of Christ. It's a cause that is not just, see, many people have a vision for their life. That's something worth living for. But a cause, you see, it's not something worth living for. It's something worth dying for. It captivates somebody to the point where they're saying, you know what? I see how valuable this is. And that is the cause in which the church was built upon. It's the revelation of who Jesus is. And in that place, church, let me just say this to you like this. We have now been mandated to carry on that cause. So understand, when the first believers gathered, they didn't gather because like, hey man, what you doing? Want to play Xbox? You know, want to just gather and sing some fun songs to God? While that was a good idea, that's not what brought them. It was the name of Jesus, the cause and the mandate of coming. And so when people say to a preacher, well, aren't you the one paid to do this? Why would I serve in church if you guys are the one paid? I got a job, you got a job, you do yours, I'll do mine. Not realizing that Ephesians 4 says that we are not actually in the ministry. The Bible says that as prophets, teachers, apostles, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, that's like known, those are the five kind of gifts that are ascension gifts according to the Bible. They're people who are overseeing the body, okay? We call it a fivefold ministry, but it's actually sixfold. Many people know, if you've ever heard the word fivefold ministry before, get in and see a hand quickly. Okay, all it means is somebody who is of one of these gifts. He's a prophet, he's an apostle, which is a builder. He's a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist within the church. Those are kind of jobs that we would hire in churches, okay, in communities. But the thing is, they are hired to equip the body, the people, to do the works of the ministry, to equip people for works of service. Do you see that? So it's actually not the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the fivefold, they're not actually the ones who actually do the work. You do. I know. I have the best job ever. I don't have to do anything. Right? See, some of you guys chose wrong. See, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm just kidding. No, but here's what I'm trying to get across. Obviously, I'm being facetious. But I'm trying to help us understand. Actually, the guys who are paid to run this thing shouldn't even... As a matter of fact, I know some guys, a guy named Judah Smith, who's Justin Bieber's pastor, in his church, he actually says to his staff, if I find you doing the work of the ministry and getting down there and doing it, I'm actually going to let you go. He's that crazy about it. And anyone who's ever built a business, you know what it's like to get your managers to go down and try to start doing the work. You know, it's maybe their job, you know, it's not their job to do everything, but it is their job to make sure everything gets done. Okay, sure, fair enough. But the problem is, as soon as they start getting down and doing that actual stuff down the line, they end up doing everything and actually failing to make sure everything gets done. So if we're going to be effective and strategical as a church, what we got to understand is that our job here is to equip you to do the works of the ministry. The only problem is that we have about, 20% of the people actually involved in the works of the ministry when it comes to the local church. And obviously that's a stat that is crazy, but it's notoriously that way across the world. Even in Jesus' times, and I just have a scripture to show you. In Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. See, Jesus wanted to do something for the crowds. Watch this. He says, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Man, people are open, he's saying. The world is ready to be loved on, and they're going to receive you with arms wide open. You know, I think a lot of us, we think, man, my friends would never receive me. They would. The thing is, I think that because the thing is, you're thinking, I gotta convert them. No, your job's not to convert them. Your job is to convey the love of God to them. What they do with the love of God when it's been given to them is their choice. But your job isn't necessarily to convert them. It's just to convey God's love to them. And that's why evangelism today has this stigma. Why don't you just replace the word evangelism with the word loving and serving humanity and pointing them to Jesus? Do that, and I promise you, your friends are going to like you. They're not going to shame you. I promise. So he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Wait, what? To send out workers. See, Jesus in his day is preaching to a sea of people. And he says to his disciples, geez, guys, we don't have enough help to actually facilitate serving these people effectively. We have more watchers than we do workers. People who love listening to Jesus more than they like living for Jesus. And so what happened was there was this huge dichotomy, obviously you can imagine, and he had to try to bridge that gap. And I think the same is true for us today. See, I think that the revelation that many of us need to gather in this thing is that it's one thing to be involved in your local church. Man, I don't know about you, but in the dating days, you might have been involved with somebody. Maybe you're now tied off and married to somebody. Praise the Lord. I hope that you're glad about who you've been paired off with, okay? Because when I look at whom I have been paired off with, I am simply saying I'm a blessed man, okay? I'm just saying I'm married up, and but unfortunately, she is incredibly lucky to have me. So here's the thing. You can be involved, can't you? You see, you can kind of be like, oh, yeah, man. And the thing about being involved with somebody is that you get the benefit. You kind of get the camaraderie. You get all the fun. And some people take involvement to a whole nother level, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that wasn't just a handshake, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so they take involvement to a whole level. And what's dangerous about that is obviously there's no investment there. There's no commitment there. And here's the second thing. See, the cause is what creates our community. See, this is what often happens is we'll come into a community like this, and we'll find friendship. And we'll be looking for belonging, which is part of the tenet of what you should be finding here. That's part of the purposes of God for your life is community. But let's not underestimate that we actually gathered first around the cause. The cause is what all of us collided with. And with every cause, there is an effect. Paul said, when he collided with this cause of Christ, he says, man, I got to tell you guys. I got to tell you, in the book of Acts, he says, I want you guys to know, he's kind of almost bragging about it. He's like, I work harder than all y'all. He goes, I am giving everything I have. He says, I work harder than all of my peers. All the other apostles, he's like, I worked harder than all of them. And he's like almost boasting about it. And he goes, I want you to know something. But not I, he says, but the grace of God at work within me. Let me just stop here for a moment. See, grace for some people, if you understand the tenets of what Christ came to give you, he says, I love you without condition. Jesus died on the cross so that you wouldn't, okay? That's the whole idea, right? So if you feel bad for being a human and like you because of where you've been or what you've done, you've missed the whole point of what Jesus did. See, Jesus died and shed his blood on a cross, naked, suspended between heaven and earth, yelling out the words, it is finished, because he finished what none of us could finish out of our own strength. In that moment, he took on all of our bad, all of sinful humanity's law-breaking against God's laws. He took it upon himself. And in exchange, he says, now I want to give you something. I want to give you right standing with God that you don't have to achieve. No, you don't have to earn this by living morally or obediently and doing all these crazy things. You can actually have right standing with God and favor with God, relationship with God, not by a matter of achieving, just simply freely receiving. Just receive it. It's the gift of God, Romans 5, verse 17 to 19. It is the gift of God. Who is it that reigns in life but he who receives the abundance of God's grace and the gift, not the paycheck, the gift of his righteousness, in other words, right standing. So what I'm trying to say is that Jesus came to give us a grace. Grace is the word charis. All it means is that you are loved. Grace means unearned, undeserved, unmerited. Let me say this again. It means you did jack all, squat, to earn or put yourself in a position to be qualified for God's love and goodness over your life. Grace is something you did not merit. You didn't earn it. It's undeserved. Charis, all right? The Bible says that we're saved, put right with God by grace through faith. Notice it says faith. It's a matter of believing, not behaving. Do you hear that? You're right standing with God. See, and the thing is, I'm just going to go on a limb. If you're new here today and you've never heard me preach this stuff before, this is a whole new thought. All you knew was Christianity by the rules and how you need to behave. And that is literally what Jesus died to take away. He doesn't want you to have to relate to him through a system of law. He wants you to relate to him through a savior of love. It's about love. It's about relationship. Does that make sense, guys? So get this now. Follow this train of thought for a moment. Follow this train of thought for a moment. Because this could be scandalous in nature for some of you. I get it. It's offensive. So, you know, people would think, well, man, so that means you are saved. You're put right with God and made whole. You know, position for heaven. You got a place, guys. Your foot's in the door. You're good, okay? You've secured it, right? It wasn't because you took notes in church, although that really helps, okay? That was a joke, okay? Jesus has secured your place in heaven and to have a relationship right now, right here with God through what he's done. So if it's not about what you do or don't do, if it's inconsequential, what does it matter? And see, that's where many people think if you preach a gospel like that, it's going to create lazy people. And I said, lazy? Passive and lazy? No, passionately crazy people. That's not what I see in the early church. I didn't see lazy, passive people. I saw crazy, passionate people who, when they collided with that cause, it had a deep effect on their lives, who then would say, I work harder. But notice, I work from the place of acceptance, and because I belong, and because God has now accepted me and approved of me. I don't work for his acceptance and for his approval of me. So I do work, but it's on the other side of God's acceptance. It's not working for something, it's working from something. It's a springboard. Does that make sense? Follow this thought with me for a moment, because this is changing your life. And so while we think it could create a lazy Christian, actually Paul actually shows us that if we've truly collided with God's grace, Christianity is not about making bad people good. It's about making dead people alive. We were dead. We were walking dead people in the eyes of God. Judgment all over us. But because of what Jesus did, we are no longer dead and held to that judgment. We have been removed from that. He has removed it entirely. When Christ hung on the cross, God exhausted his judgment and exhausted his wrath against mankind's sinful disobedience and exhausted the punishment and the wrath of that in the head of Jesus, in the body of Jesus. So he yelled out the words, "It is finished." Why? So that not one piece of that would fall on us. And then he gives us his grace. So with that grace, he says, "Now, I've given you this grace. Go and make people of God. Go tell them how I love them. Go, there's what you've been mandated with. That is the cause in which I was willing to give my life for. That people would know it's not about rules, it's about relationship. That it's not about laws, it's about love. It's not about your obedience, it's about Christ's obedience. It's not about your right living, it's about his right living. It's always been about Jesus." And so when you gather around that cause, you understand, the Bible says, so what is the appropriate act of worship to something like that? You were dead, but now you've been spared. So God goes, "So you think you could help me out with that now? How many think you're like, enlisted, sign me up. Whoo, thanks, bro," you know? And he's like, "Now do life with me. Get to know what I'm like, because I know that you've thought I was like this, but I'm not like that at all. I'm actually really awesome. I'm really kind. I'm really generous. I give mercy, a grace upon grace. All you got is grace from now on. As a matter of fact, this whole rest of your life, you're going to think that you're going to have to like, okay, but I need to live holy. Yeah, you will, but don't think it's by looking at that and the rules and stuff like that. Just understand you started this by grace now, and I'm just going to walk with you by grace now. It's just the whole thing's by grace. So just breathe easy, man. You don't have to worry. You're like, you're good. You're actually awesome, and I've actually, because of what I did, I perfected you. So everything that's mine is yours. Authority, power, all of it. That's why you have the power to go and do greater things, and that's why this is all yours." And so follow me for a moment, just as I wrap this thought up. So what happens is we've been given that mandate, given that cause. That cause is why we gathered. But understand, when you come against that cause, what happens is many Christians come together around that cause, and then that cause, you realize, oh, man, other people are gathering around that cause. "Hey, man, how's it going?" And then some of you went, "Hey, girl, how you going?" You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, "Hey, you know?" And was that too far? Okay, that was too far. And you end up finding your wife here, or finding your husband here. You end up finding some of your best friends here. But this is what happens. This is what happens. It's crazy. I see it all the time. You gather around a cause that transformed and changed your life. The whole premise of the cause is you don't gather around the cause just to belong to it. You serve it. That's it. You're there to serve that cause. What is the appropriate act of worship? Romans 12. But to give your life as a living sacrifice. Now, we may have the dead, but now we're like the walking dead, right? And we're going out to take over the world. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop us. One can't stop, won't stop. It's to serve that cause. And that cause ended up gathering some friends. But what happens is we sometimes find the community, and what ends up happening is we allow that community to replace now the mission of the cause. And we actually place and prioritize our community before the cause. Now that I've found my friends, now that I find the thing that I needed in my own life, I'm no longer going to serve that cause. Does that make sense? We find that nice connect group. We find our friends. All of a sudden, you fall out of the wayside. You follow the loop of helping serve the community that you're a part of. As a matter of fact, you see some people who come in and criticize it, saying, "Well, you know, the cause that I came to gather around." And I love what Colin said last week. He says it could almost act like a food critic. They come in with they want to critique the church. And so they come into a place that is a grace. See, everything we do from here on out, everything you've been a recipient of today is a grace. No one had to be here. They wanted to bless you, all right? It's like, you know, how we would view a soup kitchen. No one had to give it. We just want to, out of the goodwill, grace, give benevolence and grace to you. I'm going to give you free food to help fill your stomach and look out for humanity. And be like a food critic walking into a soup kitchen and criticizing it and going, you know, the pancakes were lumpy. I would never eat there again. And yet I see Christians who act like that. They're like food critics. It's like, wait, what? Could you imagine through the first century church, the early church, what that would have, like, it would have been like, wait, what? That's so wildly unbiblical, wildly absurd. The church doesn't exist to serve you. You exist to serve it. The cause is what you gathered around, right? And while you will be a beneficiary of that cause, the premise is service. God saved you, yes, through the cause, but he saved you for service. Look at this. It says in Ephesians 2:10, God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. He has called us to do good works, which planned in advance for us to do. I think it's in 2 Timothy. It is God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. God who saved us and chose us for his holy work. He saved us for his service. You see what I'm saying? Jeremiah 1:5, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a special work. Matthew 25:40, the king will answer, whenever you did for me and any of my people, no matter how important they seem, you did it for me. When we serve, we are serving God. And God saved us for his service. Saved to serve. And I guess what I'm trying to get across is that community only functions when there's an ebb and a flow. Otherwise, you end up, imagine a person who only puts food in and never lets food go out. You know what I'm saying? Gets incredibly uncomfortable up in there. Okay, let me put this in a way that's not so invasive. The Dead Sea. Do you want to know why the Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea? It's obvious, isn't it? Because all the rivers flow into it and nothing flows out of it. And so all the minerals that flow into it end up becoming so much salt in the water that nothing has the ability to live. But if it had an out and it could actually flow in and out, if there was an outflow, it would sustain life in it. But because it only takes in, it dies. My point is that in order for you to experience one of the purposes for your life, which is godly community, there has got to be a facet of service toward it. Now, we'll conclude here because I know we got friends here. Help me understand this. If this is the family of God, the church is the house of God, which is the family of God. That's in Timothy, okay? So if that's true, oftentimes what you can see in churches is people who come in and go, oh man, you know what? Yeah. Hey, so you want to get involved? Let me pray about it. Okay, this is getting too personal now. Okay, think about this. I got a teenager at home. I'm cooking this mad meal. My wife slaves all day, and I get home, and I'm doing all this stuff with her and helping out. We're all coming together. My son eats it, does his thing, sits down and goes, hey, man, so can you help clean up after dinner? Let me think about it. What do you mean? I'm going to pray about it, Dad. You're going to pray about it. Wait, what do you mean you're going to pray about it? Son, you know how that's going to go down, right? But yet, isn't it crazy how sometimes we in the church, we can actually look just like one of those children. I remember one time I talked to a guy in the foyer, and he's like, he's been around in church for years. I'm like, so he doesn't go to our church, he's going to another church. So this is you guys, because you guys are awesome. And he says to me, he's like, so, hey man, how's it going on there? Where are you serving on team? What do you happen? What's happening in your community? He's like, oh, you know, I'm still praying about whether I want to get involved or not. I'm like, but wait, you go there every week? Is that your church? He's like, yeah. I said, and I went up one side and down the other. I said, dude, why don't you grow up, man? He's like, the guy didn't know me very well. So he's like, what? I'm like, when are you going to grow up and become a man and not just a male? He's like, what? I'm like, learn how to actually give to the thing. You become a beneficiary. So what do you think? There's a magic fairy that goes around cleaning up after you every week and that people just get there at 6 a.m. because they just, obviously they love to do that. But if you're a partaker of it, you should also help serve at it, hey. It's like, well, I work a lot elsewhere. It's like, yeah, but understand, all of us go to work to help support the home that we belong to. See, for those of you who aren't a community, this is offensive language. But not until you've founded and helped build a community Do you realize it doesn't just come off the sacrifice of a few? It requires the sacrifice of everybody. Everybody's gift in motion. Everybody going out to help support the family unit. And while I recognize that we all have personal jobs and places, I believe that the house of God is paramount to all of that. Jesus even demonstrated that. Go get Colin's message last week. See, what I'm trying to do is not lay a heavy. I'm trying to bring a framework so that we see it properly. Because here's what I know. I've often been led to believe that you're not to blame people, you're to train people. See, when you don't see something that you believe is a God mandate that people should understand in the church, don't get mad. Teach. Because oftentimes, don't we do dumb stuff out of ignorance? We're not doing it on purpose. No one gets up and says, I'm going to be difficult today. You're like, this doesn't happen, right? The truth is, I think that we all have a place in our heart that says, I want to help build and take the community forward. And community service is kind of what I named this sermon today. And you know what's crazy is that community service, even within society, is not something we see as a privilege. It's something we dish out as punishment. I think the church will be so scandalous in her essence, in her being, in because we see serving. We don't bring that mentality into here. I don't have to serve my family. I get to serve my family. Come on. I don't have to go home and play with my kids. I get to go home and play with my kids. It's a different mindset, hey. When it comes to the church community, you don't have to belong to this community, but you get to belong to this community. You don't have to gather on the name of Jesus, but we get to. Whoa, what a crazy thought. It's a joy, it's not my job. It's a grace, it's not a grudge. It's a grace that I've been privileged to be a part of. And let me just say, I know that for all of us, I know what grace that is for all of us here. I know what privilege that is for so many of us here. I just pray that we'd always have be awake and aware to what it is that we're a part of. That this cause, the cause of Christ, has created an incredible community. And this community requires a commitment. It requires us to give and to sow into it. That's why I want to invite you all to get involved. And if you can't make out Wednesdays and come to team night and what our midweek services following a team night where you can get involved, come out early on a Sunday and help open doors for people. Welcome them. Help set up food and stuff afterwards. Just be a part of the community more than just coming to consume. Be coming in. And just understand, for some of you, you're here for like the first week or second week. Please consume. You're our guest at our house, right? It'd be like a guest coming to eat dinner with us. We want to roll out the red carpet and give you star treatment today. But if you do end up saying, you know what, this is a pretty good place to live. I think I'm going to create a little corner over here. Sweet. All I'm going to ask is you just get involved. And not you just involved, but invested. Come on, put a ring on it, right? Right? It's a place where our families can grow out. It's a place where we can raise our kids. It's a place where our kids can have, you know, some of us, we're divorced. And so we're looking for our kids to have maybe a female figure in their lives or a male figure in their lives. Church. You know, maybe some of us, we've been widowed. Maybe some of us grew up without parents. Maybe some of us grew up and we never had knew what it was like to live in a community that's safe and would actually champion you. Maybe you've been bullied. Maybe you see what I'm saying? Maybe you don't have family in the city because you're an international student. What is so amazing about the church is that in every city there's an outpost of God's family where you can come in and find hope and help and be championed, and the potential across your life can be mined out and you can live to your fullest. Come on, that's incredible. That's what the church is. That's what the cause of Christ is. He's there to bring hope and to bring help and to bring wholeness to people. He's there to champion your life. And that's not something that I see that we ought to be lazy about. That's not something that I see that you ought to be casual about. That's something that we ought to be so committed, so fired up about. It's incredible. Do y'all feel what I'm saying? All right. You got to understand, you come to a church where I'm going to say it like it is. But we have a beautiful community. A beautiful family of incredible, wide, big capacity people. And I just pray that you'd be a beneficiary of that love. And that you can, honestly, I believe that what's on your life is so special, is so meaningful. I pray that so many people would have the satisfaction of being a recipient of the gift that's on your life. because you're, honestly, I believe that God has given you something special, a holy work, a special work to do. You're not just here existing. You've got a godly purpose, friend, and I pray that you come to the fullness of that.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.